back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about sin and salvation. What does salvation have to do with sin? Obviously, one of the biggest things people will sometimes say, I'm not going to that church, it's full of hypocrites. You guys sin all the same amount. And it's true that Christians can indeed sin. Now, there are some denominations that, in my opinion, falsely say that you can reach a state of perfection. I'm not sure that's actually true. But we will talk about the interplay between sin and salvation. Because obviously, as we are wretched sinners in this world, we sin. And that is really why we need a Savior, is because of our sin. And our sin is very specific. This modern soft Christianity wants to be very general. We are all just sinners. What does that mean? We're just sinners. You got to be specific. This is why we have to talk about homosexuality as a sin. We have to talk about fornication as a sin. We have to talk about adultery as a sin. Angers and strifes and drunkenness and envy, jealousy, outbursts of anger. These are all things which are examples of sin, which separate us from God. We can't be nebulous and just talk about sin in this general sense. But what Ephesians says here in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, we were all sinners. So I say this together and affirm with you with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So, of course, as I said a couple weeks ago, there's always more verses that come to mind. One of them just came to mind reading that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He goes through a list of sins, some of those I just mentioned, and then there's some other ones on there, and says, such were some of you. We all come to Christ out of a life of sin. Now, some of us come to Christ from, we're raised in Christian families, and the amount of sin that we have accomplished is significantly lower than some that came out of my lifestyle, which was just completely full of sin on several different fronts. And so we have different degrees of sin in our lives, and we have to recognize that. But what we have to see here as well is that as a Christian, the overarching principle is that we repent. This means that we turn away, we turn our thoughts from the love of the old sin nature into hating the old sin nature. And of course, that verse in Ephesians chapter 4 continues, verses 20 through 24. You did not learn Christ this way, referencing all of those sins. If indeed you have heard and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God. It has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So as a Savior, as a Christian, as we look to Jesus as our Savior, we are being saved from all of the old sin nature that was within us. And as we look to this, the first major principle we can see in our life is that we start to despise the sin in our lives. We see it and we say, that is a problem. And I write about this story in my book, Half My Life, which is the first half of my life I lived not as a non-Christian. And then I lived, another half of my life as a Christian. Just the night and day of the heart and the attitude and the love of the world is so much there. I tell this story about how I made this poor line server at a restaurant cry over blueberry muffins. She took my blueberry muffins. I just made those for the next morning. And I gotta say, man, she was just, she got such a hammering by me that what she ended up doing is going into the freezer and crying for a while. Now, I had, after I was saved, when I was working at that restaurant, and we got into some other fights and spats. In one case, I remember having this argument with our senior manager, right, our supervising manager, and it just ended up, and he was yelling at me, and which was very odd because he was the calmest guy you'd ever meet. I was yelling at him, he was yelling at me, all this kind of stuff, and I was this Christian by now, a young Christian, like, this was wrong. And I go into work the next day, and I say to him, can I talk with you briefly? And I apologize for my behavior. I said, yeah, I'm a new Christian. I'm still getting used to this kind of stuff. Can you forgive me? I was completely wrong. And he said, I absolutely will forgive you. I'm a believer as well. And he said, the reason, and this all happened because I got in there. They had really bad labor hours, and they let the person that I was coming in to replace, they let them go like 2 hours earlier, and my whole area became an absolute, just ran out of everything. I had to jump in and just do everything. He said, the reason we made the decision to do that, he said, you are such a good worker. We knew your area would be hurt the least by a reduction. Now, we can all buy the argument. Maybe you shouldn't put somebody in that position in that type of job, but that's his job as a manager to make those decisions. I completely understand it because, yeah, after I got over my anger, I did bring this place back up to speed in a grand total of a half an hour where it would have taken anyone else, you know, 2.5-3 hours. And so that's the reason he did it. But the difference is in my heart, I had the same anger and sin and outbursts in that way. But the difference is I recognized it was wrong. I repented before God and before man. My heart changed about it. And while I still had that nature within me, I don't have it as much anymore, fortunately, but I have that nature within me as such an angry young man. I just lashed out. The difference is it was still there, but now I had this alternative spirit in my life. And having that alternative spirit in my life, it showed me the need to apologize and repent. And indeed, this all happened because I was a new creature in Christ. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So we can recognize the difference that we are as a Christian, as a new creature in Christ. Now, the problem is that our sin can still remain. The difference is our attitude to that sin changes. So ultimately, as Christians, the whole purpose of the Christian walk is to become sanctified more like Christ, which case we sin less and less and less. We can never reach perfection this side of heaven, but we will become more like Christ. We will sin less and less and less as time goes by. That is absolutely true. But what happens is our sin can remain, but our attitude towards it changes, and the attitude is what causes these changes. This principle is called sanctification, which I write all out about a lot. And I have two books, Testing and Temptations is about Christian sanctification, and Josiah's Sanctification gives you practical tips on this concept, taking tips from the Old Testament King. So you can have a look at those. But here is just a passage about that conflict we have within ourselves. This is in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. And this is really Paul dealing with and struggling with that sin nature. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into the bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing the thing I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. That is the sin. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want to do. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And so we have this conflict as a saved person that we know what is right more often than not. We in many ways want to be saved and do the right thing and avoid the sin, but that nature is still within us. The thing is though that sin can remain, but our attitude towards it changes. We commit that sin and now we just have this gooey feeling among ourselves. And that gooey feeling among yourself is the greatest evidence that you are saved. See, many people keep on sinning. They say, well, I'm just going to give up this Christian life. It's not working for me. It's so sad. I just can't be saved. No, the fact that you are discouraged by the sin in your life is the evidence that you are saved. Because if you're not saved, you don't even know it's sin. You don't care if it's sin. If somebody points out it's sin, it's like, dude, that's not sin. This is what I want to do. And that's the radical difference between it. So there's a little bit about sin and salvation. I mentioned the three books. They are all available on my website or anywhere else you can buy books online on soft cover, ebook, or audiobook formats. Those are available ourwalkinchrist.com/books or anywhere you buy your books online. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.